Ah, that's better. Okay, we can read about this. In yesterday's Newsday, about a Swedish father who was fined $12 for spanking his 11-year-old son, a violation of a previously untested 1979 law that bans physical punishments or other demeaning treatment of children. The boy was spanked April 29th for breaking a house rule and taking a bicycle ride with his younger brother. He promptly marched to the police in Galavere, an Arctic mining town 600 miles north of Stockholm, and reported his father. Oh boy, what fun. Yep, it's illegal. $12 he was fined. $12. I don't know. And then there's this thing. This thing that the telephone company is sending out to people in mail. Little greeting cards that play music when you open them. And invites you to buy more of their stuff. Steve Kretzer brought that in. Whoops. Thought it might be interesting. Okay, let's get serious then. Let's talk about what Mr. Reagan said this week. Okay? Mr. Reagan said some interesting things on his Saturday afternoon or morning speech. Some stuff about outlawing Russia and that kind of thing. And the Soviets responded a couple of days ago. It took them a while to, you know, rev up and really come up with a good response. Anyway, they seized on his so-called quip about outlawing and bombing the Soviet Union as proof that his sentiments have not changed. Genrikhar Barovac, who is a playwright and commentator on American affairs, said on the television news that people around the world were aware that there are many hurdles between the president's wishes and their realization. Nevertheless, he continued, there are grounds for alarm. It is said that a person's level of humor reflects the level of his thinking. If so, aren't one or the other too low for the president of a great country? What do you think, Deirdre?
I don't know what you're talking about.
We're talking about what our president said on the air. Well, Ron, it was weird how it worked. He said this off, you know, off record. And since it was off record, it couldn't be reported by the media people, by the TV people. But the print people could report it because they didn't have an agreement, so the print people reported it. And then the people who had the original agreement had to report on what the print people were saying, so they just sort of looped around the agreement.
And then Moscow's making comments on it.
Oh, yeah, well, they were expected to. None of what they say here I don't think is that outrageous, you know. They seem pretty reasonable. There's nothing, you know.
I've had my head in the sand for the last couple of days, so I don't even know what the president said.
Oh, you don't know what he said. Let's see if I can find the exact quote someplace. I don't think the exact quote is here, but I can tell you that...
What is he reported to have said?
He's reported to have said something to the effect of, my fellow Americans, I am pleased to announce that I have just signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Well, how do you react to that? We've all said that once or twice in our life, haven't we?
Yeah, at first I thought it was, the guy, you know, is making some sort of a joke, however silly it might be. But then I realized, but this sort of reflects on what is going on inside his head.
Well,
what goes on inside his head is very important to the rest of us.
But that's part of being the president. You're not allowed to think uncommonly. We expect this man, whoever he may be at any particular time, to be above all the superficiality and those crazy moments that we all have when we wish evil on the rest of the world or on another person. Presidents aren't allowed to think that way, didn't you know?
Well, that's true, but he's got so much power, you know, and he can do just about anything he wants. To even think that thoughts like that are in the back of his mind, you know, I don't know, it makes it kind of uneasy.
Eric, I'll say this, and then I'm going to go about my business here.
Okay.
I think it's all a lot of media hype, and it's not worth getting into. There are so many things in this world that we could spend our time on.
You see, the media did not push this one. This was basically ignored by American media. It's the people over in Europe who are going to get the brunt of a nuclear war if it ever starts. Who, you know, sort of raised an issue about this, and that's when we started to wake up. Now, listen to the things he said in the past, okay? These are things he has said for the record. 3 years ago, I'm quoting the Soviet people, but this is true, what they say. 3 years ago, Mr. Reagan fashioned and then proclaimed the formula that it is the Soviet Union that is behind all the world's problems. His simple-mindedness, I am using a rather mild word, that's pretty good too, amazed even the least demanding anti-Sovieteers. He then announced that the Soviet Union was the empire of evil. Remember that? And he proclaimed the crusade against us. Now, that coupled with the comment he made leads me to believe that he's just so anti-Soviet that I don't think anything can make him reason with him.
Well, that may be true.
President should be able to reason with people.
This becomes a whole philosophical discussion. I'm going on vacation and I don't want to discuss it.
Ignore the issues.
Yes, I'm going to be very apathetic tonight.
Okay, all right. I understand. But we have a phone caller, fortunately, who I know will be able to address anything, any issue. Our number is 246-7901. You can talk about anything you want, actually. I don't really care. USB, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? You put me on hold today.
Yeah, we do it differently every week. This week we're putting you on hold.
Alright, I just thought I'd call up. We talked about the old FIFA law a couple of months ago. Action, and I'm totally against it.
You're totally against it. There was an interesting article in today's paper about that.
I mean,
about how someone got killed wearing a seatbelt.
Oh boy, I'm telling you, I maybe we'll get the public stirred up today who's listening out there to make a few calls and get their opinions.
Yeah.
I'm totally against it.
Why don't you like to wear seatbelts?
Well, I don't think, whose word is the government to tell me whether or not to wear a seatbelt?
Well, I don't know. They don't have a right to tell you to wear a seatbelt. Okay.
That should be my decision. That's an infringement on my private life.
Well, let's just take this a few steps further then. How about on an airplane? Do they have the right to tell you to wear a seatbelt on an airplane?
Well, I don't always put it on.
Yeah,
but that doesn't make, you know.
But it is a law that you wear
a
seatbelt.
You're going on their plane and they want you to do it because...
Yeah, but you're traveling on their highways, you know, and their roads and stuff like that.
Maybe you have a flight, but... But the government's stepping in again. The government's stepping in on our lives where they shouldn't tread, I think. It's just another way for them to get more money, I think. You know what I'm saying? Oh, we can come up with another fine now. We're going to fine people. We're going to make more money now. Who's to say what they'll do in the future? Well, you can't go out throwing a lightning storm now because you can get hit by lightning and there's going to be no more of that and people are going to be fined for that.
Well,
how far are they going to go? You should eat steak 6 days a week. We're going to make sure you don't, because you're going to get a lot of cholesterol in your system and you're going to die.
Yeah.
Now, these are my opinions. I think that that's totally our business, whether or not you should wear a seatbelt.
So it's not so much whether the seatbelt is right or not, but you just object to being told what to do.
Yeah, that should be your decision. I mean,
But why do you think so few people wear seatbelts?
Maybe they feel, I feel like I'm trapped, I guess. Like, I drive a sports car. I'd rather go flying out of it than be stuck in it. Let's put it that way.
Uh-huh.
So I feel better about that because I know guys who've rolled them.
Yeah.
They got thrown from the car, and maybe that was better because otherwise they might have gotten decapitated, you know? Uh-huh. So you really don't know what's going to happen. You know, like you said, you heard that article in the paper. Sometimes it's, on a rare occasion, it's detrimental. You know, it's really hard to say. You know what I mean? It's really hard to say. You have to get the accident and see what happens.
Well, I guess, you know, all I have to say really is, in the end, it's always the individual makes up his mind, you know, whether to wear a seatbelt or not to wear a seatbelt, whether to obey a quote, law, unquote, or not. It's, you always have the option, you know, you always have the option of what to do. And as long as that's not taken away from you, I guess, you know, you have something left. Personally, I like wearing seatbelts. I think they're safer, but I'm not going to impose that on anybody else, and I can see your point.
Yeah, see, that's your business, see?
Yeah. But anybody gets in my car, though, I pretty much insist that they wear one, too.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's your car, your insurance.
Right. It's my car, my insurance, and I don't want to be hit by flying bodies in my car, you know? That's basically it. Okay, well, thanks for calling.
Hey, bye now.
Take care. 246-7901, area code 516, the Ministry of Truth. USB, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi there.
I was just listening to the previous caller about the seatbelt, and I want to sort of not really debate him on air, just counter his argument.
Okay.
He was saying that it's an infringement on our personal rights.
Yeah.
But he's assuming that driving a car is our right. Like we're born with the inalienable right for freedom, you know, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. But it doesn't say anything in the Constitution about driving. The state allows us to drive. They give us the privilege to drive. And when the state gives you a privilege to do something, they also have the right to regulate it. I mean, with this caller, feeling is imposing on his rights that we have to have windshield wipers on the car, or that back of cars should have brake lights so that we know when the car in front of us is braking. You know, is that an infringement on our right? You know, this is not a right. It's not a matter of infringing our rights. It's a privilege that they're giving us, and they're restricting the privilege.
Well, certainly it could be an interesting debate. If that person wants to call back on our free line, he's welcome to do so now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, good fast, though, because that's an interesting point. I don't want to, you know, take either side here. I just know how I feel personally about it.
I just wanted to bring out a different point. You know, I had difficulty with the previous call's argument,
uh-huh.
And I just wanted to let air out another opinion about it.
Uh-huh.
And what I felt was a stronger argument for the seatbelt than against.
So you're saying that it's not your right to drive a car. It's
right. It's a privilege. I mean, you have to go through a process to get a license to drive a car.
Right.
The state does not allow you. I mean, people do it without a license, but the state does not allow every person who was born or became a naturalized citizen of the United States to drive a car. It is a privilege you obtain.
Okay, but where do the regulations end? Could they say, you know, only people who wear suits and ties can drive cars? You know, where's the line?
I don't know. I really don't. But, I mean, if looking at, in an idealistic sense, the checks and balances of government, a court is supposed to say, no, that is improper. And that's why there are groups who are bringing the seatbelt law to court.
A court can say that, but a person should be able to say the same thing the court says, you know, because that's what the court's there for.
You should
be able to reason just like a court does.
I've heard an argument with someone saying that the government should regulate. I mean, there's a silly argument, but someone's saying the government should regulate the parents' ability to, the adults' ability to have children. You know, decide whether or not an adult should be allowed to have a child, and that's absurd because we're born with the right as human beings to procreate and make children.
Can you hold on 1 second? We have another call. I want to see if this is the same one.
Okay.
Hold on. USB, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah. I'm not the guy who called before.
Okay, go ahead.
In reference to the counter-argument that is coming on now, okay, about how it's a privilege that we have and wearing seatbelts are something that is a regulation on a privilege, and his reference to backup lights or taillights on a car, it seems to me that backup lights on a car is something that are recent, relatively speaking, for cars.
Yeah.
All cars didn't always have taillights, didn't always have backup lights. And there are times you might find yourself on the highway with a vintage automobile that doesn't have nearly the light systems that a current car does.
Uh-huh.
So, is the counter-argument that just went down, is what he's saying that we should take the Model Ts and the Model As and the 30s and the 40 vintage cars off the road,
uh-huh.
or that we should update their lighting systems, or that the seatbelt law should go into effect now for all cars that are new on the road now.
Would you like to be connected to this person who's waiting
sure.
on the other line? Okay, let's connect you two, and we'll get an answer to that question. Is our other caller down there?
Hello?
Yeah, okay. Did you hear that question?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, would you like to address it?
Well, number one, yeah. If the law states that the government says that it is safer and we are allowed a privilege to drive only when we ensure certain safety factors, and that is having lights in the back of the car to warn other drivers. So, yes, a Model T that, an old vintage car should have lights installed in the back. Yeah, all cars were not created equally. All cars on the road don't have the same accessories, don't have the same features. There are cars on the road that have lights that can light a mile ahead. There are cars on the road that can only light a half a mile ahead.
Right.
So are you saying that because the law says today it's safer for you to have better lighting, that every car on the road has to come up to specs for current cars, or are you saying that seatbelts
are something that have to be worn in every car that's equipped with them, every car that's on the road, or every car that's on the road after the government thinks it's something that's safe to do.
Well, you're asking two different questions. Let me first talk about the lights. I personally do not want to be driving in front of a car at midnight on a fully lit road with a car that does not have proper lighting in front.
I don't think we're not asking about your personal preference.
No, but what you're saying is, should a car be equipped? And I'm just saying, yes, a car should be equipped. Because there are situations where I'm going 60 miles per hour, and there's a car in front of me with not properly lit. I may not see it. And it's almost destined for an accident.
And we already know that 60 miles an hour is exceeding the speed limit.
Right.
That's a moot point.
Right, 55.
Okay.
Well, the seatbelt went into regulation 66 or 68.
Right.
So almost all cars in the road have it.
Would you want to be caught in an accident in a lap belt in a 60s vintage car or in an inertia type belt in a late model car?
I'd rather be in a late model car
in a slip type belt.
What?
In a belt that slips unless you're in an impact. In other words, you can move freely, but if the car is in an impact, it will lock the belt.
Well, you're asking your personal preference. I want a seatbelt that will prevent me from hitting the dashboard and the window and the windshield on an accident. I don't care. I mean, I have personal preference of how the seatbelt.
Okay, so but now what you're getting to is your personal preference. Why are you stepping on somebody else's toes?
All I'm saying is that I'm agreeing with the government in saying that there should be some device that prevents you from hitting the windshield or the dashboard in an accident.
That device exists.
Right.
Now, why are you saying that you agree with the government that you should have to wear it?
Why am I agreeing with the government saying
that? I think we all agree, both the caller before you, myself, and yourself, we all agree that seatbelts are a good idea, and it's probably a good idea to wear them. But as far as someone telling you to wear the seatbelt, and if you don't wear the seatbelt, I'm going to smack you on the wrist, I think the caller prior to you and myself are disagreeing with that.
Let me ask you something. Do you find it ridiculous for, it is given that it is safer to have proper working windshield wipers in the rain, but is it a slap on, should the government should not slap us on the wrist when we don't have proper windshield wipers?
I have never... And I'm in the automotive business. I have never seen a ticket issued for a car that had windshield wipers that streak. And
I'm talking about working.
I'm talking about windshield wipers that make it very difficult to see in the rain.
Well, if I can break in here for a second, that's completely different because windshield wipers. If you have defective windshield wipers, you could kill somebody else, an innocent person. Now, not wearing a seatbelt, you're not going to kill anybody else by not wearing a seatbelt unless you hit them as you fly out the window.
Good point.
Now, I'd like to ask both of you a question. How would you feel about, well, you say this is a safety standard, say, like having a bumper that can maintain a speed of 15 miles an hour. Now, there's no law that says you have to wear this bumper. It just comes with the car.
No, there is a law that says you have to have the bumper.
Oh, well, okay. I wasn't aware of that. You know, if you take off the bumper, you can get a ticket.
Yeah. Correct.
Well, okay. My question then is, what if they have seatbelts that just automatically go on with a car? You know, the car is made, have to have seatbelts that automatically go on, you know, and it's not up to the driver, it's up to the car manufacturer. How would you two feel about that?
What do you mean, a passive restraint?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally don't care what kind of device is used to prevent the person from hitting the windshield or the dashboard. I'm just saying that I think it's okay for the government to require that there's some device that prevents us from killing ourselves in an automobile accident.
But should the onus be on the manufacturer or on the passengers, or the drivers rather?
You mean to put it on?
Yeah.
Well, to go for the best type of, you know, to say insurance, well, the best type of safety mechanism would be an airbag, which is passive. And then there's a seatbelt, which can be passive if the manufacturer builds it that way. But it's disconnected anyway. So it's pointless to call it passive restraint, because people disconnect them anyway. So, I don't know if I'm answering the question.
You could disconnect an airbag, too.
What?
You could disconnect an airbag, too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And your comment about them being the best has yet to be proven.
The best?
An airbag being the most effective passive restraint?
No. What I said was that, from what I've been told, from my information is that a combination of a seatbelt and an airbag are the safest type of passive or active restraint you can have in your car.
Where has that been tested?
I'm not sure. Frankly, I saw an interview with Ralph Nader, and that's where he was discussing it. And that's where I got, this is my source.
That's an interesting topic. Now, this law does go into effect, though. It goes into effect, I believe, December 1st.
That's when they can start issuing warnings.
And then they have
January 1st, they can start issuing tickets.
Does anyone know, going back to 60 vintage cars, 70 vintage cars, etc., we know that the early vintage seatbelts were lap belt only.
Right.
Now, what's going to... How's the officer, the issuing officer, who issues the summons, how is he going to walk up to my early 70s vintage vehicle that does not have a lap belt and determine whether or not I got a seat belt on? Well, is he going to pull me over?
Obviously, this law is not really going to be pursued that much.
Yeah, well...
I think it's meant more as a gesture to people to buckle up, you know? I think that's really all it is.
With a child safety seat law. It's not meant as a punishment. It's meant as a law that's trying to get parents to put the children in safety seats. And you get a $25 fine if you don't have a kid in a safety seat. I mean, that's a really insane, and that fine can be waived if you buy a safety seat for the kid.
But it could also be used as harassment. And we all know that law enforcement people are capable of using laws for harassment.
That's true.
It's just another thing for that. If they're after you for a lot of things, like not using your turn signal, like you're going a mile above the speed limit.
You have your seatbelt on.
It's another thing they can throw at you. That's great.
Right. Who needs to give them more bullets? Why don't they do the job that they're supposed to do and worry less about the seatbelt and more about the drunk driver?
They are worrying about the drunk driver.
And are they worrying about it?
I don't think they're doing enough, but I like what they're doing. New York State is the toughest state in the union on drunk driving.
Okay, I'm glad you raised that point. I'm glad you raised that point, because last semester here on campus, they were going a bit crazy. They were stopping cars all over the place and looking around, searching your back seat to see if you had any alcoholic beverages in bags. Now, is that going a bit too far in checking for drunk drivers? I mean, stopping cars, sometimes I got stopped twice in one night. Now, why don't they just look for people who are driving kind of strange or speeding or something like that and use that as a basis instead of going after every single person?
There is a thing about reasonable cause for pulling someone over. And if you don't, the police may be operating inappropriately if they pull you over indiscriminately with no purpose, with no,
Well, it's not pulling over, it's a checkpoint.
A checkpoint?
Yeah, and at this checkpoint, they search your car. And I don't really understand why.
Well, it's easier to have people go through a funnel and check them to go through a funnel than to have one police car, driving around and trying to find those few individuals who are weaving in the road.
I got no problem finding those people on a Friday or Saturday night. I don't know about you. I don't need a funnel.
Well, I have no trouble finding these people in the middle of the day, in a weekday.
And some of them aren't kids who go to Stony Brook.
A lot of them aren't kids who go to Stony Brook.
Some of them are John Q. Public.
A lot of them aren't kids at all.
Right.
A lot of them are 45-year-old men who
doctors
go to
the
hospital.
And women, and old men, and all women. Everybody. It's you can't categorize.
Right. So why do we set up funnels where we can find easy hits of possibly people who can't defend themselves?
Yeah, because it's quite possible that they'll, like you said, find something else.
Well, yeah, I mean, the same thing is being set up on campus right now.
Like, where's your front license plate, kid, and then scare somebody that way.
Speaking of that, the place that I work, I happen to service cars that are in the better than $30,000 price range, and they all lose their front license plates in car washes, and none of those people ever get tickets for it. But my pickup truck doesn't have a front license plate on it, and I get a ticket for it, and it's a 1970 Datsun. Spare me.
Uh-huh.
Easy hits. I happen to agree with you. The police... So you think it's okay to give them another bullet to pull me over to see if I got my seatbelt on?
You're making it like it's the purpose of the law to give the police the power to be absurd. It's not.
No, it's the
police
purpose
is perverting what I think is a useful law. The police are perverting it. It's not, the law is not written in so the police can pull over more and more kids, or whoever they happen to don't like that day. That was not why the law was written, and I just I find a lot of difficulty with that argument.
I don't think that either one of us know why the law was written. We have our opinions as to what the result of the law will be.
Well, you want to know what I heard about why the law passed so quickly?
It's not heard why, because that's immaterial, because when the law goes into effect, it's not going to be why it was written, it's going to be what the result is going to be. And past performance says that the result is they're going to set up a funnel on Stony Brook campus, and they're going to pull everybody over, and they're going to give you a ticket for having a bag of beer in the back seat, and because the guy in the back seat's not wearing a seatbelt.
Well, number one, the back seat doesn't need a seatbelt.
Well, that's not my point.
Yeah, I know. I understand with you. And they're not setting that up on campus, and I happen to agree with you. The idea of setting up this funnel system on campus with the way they're doing for next fall, I think, is an absolute perversion of their power. I absolutely agree with you. But the intent of the law for front passengers to wear seatbelts is... in a bad mood about that day.
Well, how about if you're so stupid that you don't want to wear a seatbelt, it's okay with me if you go through the windshield? Because survival of the fittest is, like, only natural.
No, wait a minute. Is it stupidity or is it just not being aware? I don't think it's not being aware.
I really don't think that after seatbelts being in the car for this long and sitting on that lump under your rear end, I don't think it's like ignorance. I think that people know that the seatbelts are in the car, and I think they have a pretty good idea what they're for.
But people don't believe that they will get into an accident.
I don't think that's true.
Oh,
really? I don't think people think that they won't get into an accident because, based on statistics, one happens to the guy next door every day.
It's
stupid enough to think you're indestructible.
I think he's got something there because, not one of us has ever died, okay? And that sort of gives you a superiority complex over all the people who have.
Right.
It's always somebody else who gets into these serious accidents, but you somehow get through until you don't get through anymore, and then you don't know about it. So it's...
talking about the proportion of people who die per year, the proportion of people who die per year in automobile accidents versus the people who drive is a minuscule amount. I mean, it's like 0.000 something. I mean, it's a minuscule percentage of the people, but still, 50,000 people are dying every year on the road.
And how many of those can you? What do your statistics say are attributed to the guy not wearing a seatbelt?
25,000. Half the people's lives could be saved.
You're saying 50% of the fatalities were
due to automobile accidents could be prevented by seatbelts.
Now, if you had your choice between living without legs or arms or living. Now, you don't have to answer this. It's a rhetorical question. Which would you rather be?
I don't understand the question.
Would you rather be a hamburger or would you rather be dead?
What does without arms and legs have to do with a seatbelt?
Well, you don't always die in a car accident when you're in a serious car accident without a seatbelt. We're not talking about fatalities.
Right.
And when you're dead, it doesn't hurt anymore.
Right, but 3% of people who are... 3% of people who die in automobile accidents die with seatbelts on. Only 3%.
Do you know how many of those people wouldn't have died if they did have their seatbelt on?
I can't believe it's more than 50% of 3%.
I'm not asking you that.
No, I do not know.
And I don't think anybody does.
Right. But what I'm saying is that, yes, there may be a situation where someone could be killed because they're wearing a seatbelt, but the proportion seems so insignificantly small that if you're going to save so many lives... I don't see the objection.
There's no objection on my part except the fact that if you don't want to wear your seatbelt and you realize that the reason the seatbelt is in the car is to keep you in the car in an accident. It's not there so when you open the door and you get the pass mark, you don't fall out because you're too drunk.
Mm-hmm.
It's there so that if you're in an accident, you don't get seriously hurt. I really think that you're not giving the American public credit for, like, how many brain cells they might still have. I think we realize the seatbelts are in there for that use. And if I don't wear it, it may be laziness, but I think there's a fine line between laziness and stupidity.
But then why is it that most people on the road do not wear seatbelts?
Well, who says most people?
Well, I think it has... I don't want to quote any more statistics or percentages of stuff, but I think it has been said that something like 3% of the people only wear seatbelts in Suffolk, which is pretty strange.
3%?
Something like that. It might be more than that.
I mean, maybe 10%.
But I'd like to close this up. We could talk about this all night.
All right, Eric.
If you guys have any final comment, make it now.
No, why don't we leave it for somebody else? I appreciate you letting me give you my peace of mind.
Okay.
Yes,
thanks to both of you for calling.
Good night, Eric.
Bye-bye. Well, that certainly was fun. We never really had we've had debates before on the air, but usually the politicians and things. It's fun to debate people on things like this. But I was reading about... I don't know, by the way, it's 246-7901, area code 516, if you want to call up. We got some time left. I was reading about how some countries, I think Germany, Germany is the country that has no speed limit on its highways, on the Autobahn. And people don't get into as many accidents there, but there's no speed limit. They don't go 205 miles an hour. They somehow survive. The drinking age there is 16. You can buy beer at 16. But the kids... don't go crazy. They don't, you know, they're conscientious. So a lot of it has to do with the way that we respond to the laws around us. And I guess if you know, we abuse them, then these, you know, nasty, big brotherish type laws start to exist. So is it possible that we're to blame? 246-7901 is our phone number. Area code 516, the Ministry of Truth. USB, you're on the air.
Hey, this is the original caller.
Oh, really? You started all the trouble.
Yeah, I know. I see that. I didn't mean to start the whole world on fire, but, you know, what can I do? All right. Well, the guy says, oh, we weren't born with the right, da-da-da-da. Well, actually, in the beginning, there was nothing. There was no right. It was the beginning of automobiles. Then the state stepped in because they could see that there was a chaotic situation and we needed... But, you know, I still think they stepped too far. Mario Cuomo is a pain in the neck to me. The guy's just trying to make a name for himself. I don't know. Maybe they don't have anything to do up in Albany. I don't know. I think they're just getting... I think the guy's a pest.
Well, he was suing for the 1988 convention, don't you think?
I think that guy is a pain in the ass. He wants to get rid of, what do you call it, the Schwarm, for that, because, you know, that's the latest technology. Leave them alone up there. Let them run their power plant.
Well, is it the latest technology, or is it a lot of bungled wires?
Excuse me?
Well, do you think it's going to work? I mean, to me, it seems as if they've been messing up left and right. Now, why is that? Is that because...
Well, the media is picking it apart, I think. I really don't think anybody knows what's going on up there except the people who are working there. Anything's going to have, you know, you're going to have small mistakes with machinery, but, I'm sure it's safe. They're ridiculous. They're picking apart all these little floors all over the place. They're making a big deal out of nothing, you know. Like you get a flat tire on the car, the media doesn't bother you about that.
Look at things in the past. Look at things like Agent Orange and the nuclear testings of the 1950s. You know, everyone was saying, oh, there's no problem with DDT, there's no problem with you know, all these things that suddenly, asbestos and all that. You know, years later they find out, hey, we really messed up. Now...
Well, they've had discussions about it on this station about nuclear plants, and I've never heard anything. You know, I've heard top men talking about it, saying, you know, the thing's not going to blow up. It can't blow up. It's not that type of a reaction.
Well, I don't think that's the issue, whether it's going to blow up or not.
Yeah, well, how are you going to get the radiation all over the place?
There are radiation leaks. There can be, and there have been.
Yeah, but it's a contained system. Oh, well, wait, there was one thing Cuomo did that I was against.
Well, just to sort of close off on this, I think, you know, technology is going to perfect things like that. At this point, though, I just don't think we're quite ready to take that step.
Really think so, huh?
Well, I've been inside that reactor. I've seen it, and it is just one complete mess of technology everywhere you look. It's just unbelievable. It's a machine. The whole building is a machine.
Yeah.
And for that thing to run perfectly all the time... It's just not going to. I mean, I'm always hearing about they're shutting down automatically, so it's impossible.
I was in the Navy, and I know, I've got an idea what's going on. They got backup systems and everything, you know.
They deserve commendation for what they've built. It's really amazing what the engineers come up with, but I just think at this point, if we don't know everything, the risk is a bit too great to go ahead blindly, and we have gone ahead blindly with some things before, and we've lived to regret them.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that. Yeah, well, you got a point, but I don't know. They built the thing already, and, you know, it's kind of ridiculous, believe it just...
Well, it wasn't as if people weren't complaining from the beginning. It's just that now that the Suffolk County government finally took it upon itself to complain, people are finally starting to listen. And it's sad that all this money had to be wasted, and perhaps Loco's going to go bankrupt as a result.
I wish Loco would go bankrupt.
Well, a lot of people think that would solve some problems. Others think it would cause more.
actually want to raise their rates again. I don't know if you saw that.
They've done it. The PSC already, as of yesterday.
Yeah, well, they want to raise them again now. Another
Well, I don't know.
I'll find
out about that next week.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
All right, we got another call waiting, so thanks for calling us.
Good to talk to you.
Take care.
Bye.
246-7901. USB, you're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to respond to these arguments that the people have. I think the biggest argument that the people who are against this law have is that you don't only hurt yourself if you don't wear your seatbelt. And I think that's ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if I'm in an accident, I hope the guy that hits me has a seatbelt on so he'll be alert enough to maybe prevent the accident from being, you know, mayhem.
Yeah.
Because, if he's, has his head, poking through the window with shards of glass all over the place, and the car's still careening all over, I mean, that'll do me a lot of good.
So you're saying that someone not wearing a seatbelt is, in fact, a hazard to somebody else.
Exactly. I mean, that's the big fallacy in their arguments. I mean, I think it's a large factor in it.
Yeah. Well, at that point where he goes careening through the windshield, is there much more after that? I mean,
it depends on the accident.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a fender bender, obviously not. But, I mean, everybody's been in driver ed mostly, and they all have done the experiment when you're traveling, 25 miles an hour, and the teacher slams on the brakes, and you all, whip forward. I mean, you travel at a great speed.
Yeah.
I've been in accidents, and I broke my nose once because I wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
Uh-huh.
And it might have been worse, but, thank God it wasn't. And I just ran out of my car right now. I had to respond to this because...
Are you at a payphone somewhere?
I just ran to my house. I got home and I just whipped in the door and got on the phone.
Well, I'm glad you did. That's an interesting point, that they can hurt other people besides. Plus, don't forget the passengers. If mom and pop don't believe in wearing seatbelts, I don't think this 4 and 5 year old kid is something going to take it upon himself to start wearing seatbelts.
Exactly. You have to establish pattern.
Right, it's values and families and stuff.
Yeah, and if your driver's wearing a seatbelt and the guy next to him isn't, he goes careening all over the inside of the car. It's not going to help you when you're trying to get out of this thing the safest way possible.
There was one thing that was mentioned in the article today in Newsday about people being killed by seatbelts. The person said, lean forward and put a lot of pressure on yourself as if you were, being thrust forward by an accident or something, and try to unbuckle at that stage. See if you can do it. I don't know. I haven't tried it yet, but that was his point, that you couldn't, and for that reason you were trapped in fires or what have you.
Well, I was looking before. How many accidents are of the cataclysmic variety? I don't know. I think I can get out of my seatbelt fairly easily.
Yeah. Well, some seatbelts are easier than others.
I blew all over my face and everything, and I got out of the car fairly quickly.
Yeah.
The windshield was busted. And my companion, who was with me, he was wearing his seatbelt, and he didn't get hurt at all.
Uh-huh. That's
interesting. It was icy, and I slid into the guy in front of me at a light. So, and he walked away without a scratch on him, and I broke my nose, so.
It's, the little things, just getting into somebody at a low speed.
I wasn't even going fast, I wasn't intoxicated or anything. It was just an accident. What does that mean? But, I was wearing my seatbelt when I was driving over here. I always wear it now. Obviously, there must be, three cases in which, you'll die if you had your seatbelt on, but I guess in 99% of the cases, you're going to lose because of your seatbelt, and, I just think it's a good idea, and I think that it is safer for everybody else if you're wearing your seatbelt.
Do you have a shoulder harness in addition?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you think that makes a big difference?
Sure. If I had the lap belt, you'd still be head on probably a steering wheel.
So what does that do then?
Well, break your nose,
No, what does wearing the lap belt do?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think it's probably not too safe a thing, compared to not wearing it. I mean, it probably helps a little bit.
Uh-huh. Have you ever taken the course that they offer? I believe it's an 8-hour course, 12-hour course or something that they...
Yeah, you reduce your insurance, 10% because of it or something?
Yeah.
No, I haven't yet. I've been meaning to.
Well, that's something for anybody to take, because you don't have... If you have points on your license, they take the points away and you get a reduction in your insurance if you don't have points.
Yeah, right.
So it's definitely worthwhile. You learn a lot of things through that.
Have you taken it?
I took it once a few years ago, to get a discount, and I learned so much. you know, it's still with me. Some of the graphic things they tell you that can happen, you know.
Wow.
Things like, there's a stop sign, all right, and it juts out a little bit. Well, actually, the stop line is before the intersection. Now, do you stop at the stop line even though it's before the intersection, or do you go past it and stop at the intersection? If you're going, if you suddenly jut out of an intersection, even though you have every intention of stopping, you're going to scare the people who are going left and right.
That's very true.
So the best thing to do is to stop first and then creep out slowly, and then they'll see that you're coming out nice and gently, and they won't be frightened.
Yeah,
that's one little thing I learned. The other thing is, don't necessarily go through a green light, assuming it's green, because...
Right, people sail on through, like, right. All's clear, and you never know what's going to happen.
Quite true. Well, look, we're out of time, but thanks for calling.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, we certainly had an interesting show tonight. I wasn't planning on talking about this at all. I had all these articles about John DeLorean and Radio Moscow and kids being spanked in Sweden. Well, that was interesting. Yeah, it was fun. We'll be back again. We'll be back again next week. We've got the legislators coming in then. But feel free to call them, by the way. Call them if there's anything that you're upset about, especially the seatbelt stuff. I mean, they have a say in that. They have a say in anything. You know, there's a pothole in your street? Give them a call. Next week at this time, there will be two county legislators, Steve Englebright and Gregory Blass, will be here. And they're here for you to call them. So... mark it down in your calendar. Do it now, because you'll forget. You know, things happen and you forget these things. Mark it down next week, Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. The two legislators will be here to answer your questions. And I want to hear some good questions. Thank you. I'm Eric Corley. This has been the Ministry of Truth. We'll be back again in 2 weeks. Stay tuned for Deirdre Jersey and Curtain Up. Until then, have fun. Goodbye.
The Ministry of Truth. Thank you. WSB, Stony Brook.
And I'm hoping another show, and Billy Boston about to move. A chance for Facebook to say hello, and I'm hoping of another show, and another job that you hope at last will make your future forget your past. Another place.
Welcome to Curtain Up, WUSB's weekly salute to Broadway's musical theater and Hollywood soundtracks. I'm Mark Carroll, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Tonight, we are celebrating kids, so if you have any young ones in your household, you better get them in front of the radio, because that's what we're doing tonight. We have some marvelous music. We're doing Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Just listening to it is enough to make you gain 20 pounds. And Marlo Thomas and Friends with Free to Be You and Me, just a look into that. We have Alan Alda, Harry Belafonte, Mel Brooks, Jack Cassidy, Dick Cavett, Carol Channing, Billy DeWolf, Rosie Greer, Shirley Jones, and quite a lot of others. Also on tonight's playlist, we have Jim Dale in the Broadway sensation Barnum, which was nominated for a Tony Award, and also the Lovable Muppets in the Lovable Muppet movie with Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy. We're going to get right into the music because we have a lot of it. So why don't we get right into something very, very fattening, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Thank you.